tonight we're gonna start Romans 7. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. And that'll be Romans chapter 7, 1 through 6. It says, "Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code." So here, if we remember when we ended with chapter 6, that we saw that sin pays its wages, and the wages are death, and that's eternal death. That's eternal death. And that's something that you earn. Wage is something that you earn. And so the devil's going to make sure you get your earnings there. But then we also saw at the end of chapter 6 also, it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." So again, that's a free gift. A free gift from God. Something you can't earn. God gives it to us. He's done everything for it. And so, again, that's the blessings that we have of being in Christ, being with God. We also learned that when we were baptized into Christ, that we were also baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. And so, again, that's the hope that we have, that we are born again. And we're no longer slaves to sin at that time, because, as I said, Jesus Christ freed us from the law. And the law was to identify what sin was. So in verse 1 it says, "Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law. The law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives." So what Paul's getting ready to do now, again, just to show that the law has been fulfilled, and that now we're under a new covenant in Christ, he's going to start to illustrate the relationship between the old law and the Jews, and now Christ's law and the Jews. And he's going to do that in a way where he's going to use marriage as the illustration. As he said, I'm talking to those that are familiar with the law, so they're very familiar with marriage covenant, as we are also. We're all very familiar with that. So when he's speaking to them, they understand what that is. So he's going to start using that illustration to help prove his point. In verse 2 it says, "For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he's alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law that binds her to him." So again, he's speaking about a woman that's bound to her husband as long as he lives. And when he dies, she's released. So again, for the Jews that were there listening to him, this was a pretty simple, pretty basic illustration that he's painting. They're following along. They understand what he's saying. And they also understand that when one of the spouses die, that marriage relationship has ended. And so that's what he's trying to continue to show, that yes, we were under a covenant of the law, but now we have something better. And that law has been fulfilled. And in verse 3 it says, so then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So here he's still painting that picture using marriage as an illustration. And he states that if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she's an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's not an adulteress, and she's free to marry another man. So he brings adultery into the picture, and it's adultery that you, if you have relations with another person while your spouse is still alive. And he's speaking again to the Jews that understand. They understood the marriage covenant. They know, they kind of understand what he's saying. And he's using God's universal law of marriage to prove that point. The point was that just like an adulterous woman with two husbands is like the Jews worshiping two different laws at the same time. One is they were still holding on to the law of Moses, but yet we still believe in Jesus and we're going to follow what Jesus is doing. And what Paul is saying is that that's not true. It's pretty much spiritual adultery is what you're doing. You're going between the two, and I think they're starting to realize where he's coming from with that. And as it had said, at the cross, the Jews through the body of Christ were released from the law. They were released to that so then they could be joined with Jesus Christ. So Jesus freed them from the law. Also, obviously today, we're free from that also. And verse 4 says, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ so that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit for God. And here, again, Paul's saying that we're under a new law. It's a better covenant. And we are not enslaved to sin anymore. And we're under the covenant of Christ. He sets us free from all sins. And he was resurrected from the dead, as we will also be. So again, this is something better. But then it says, and this is what kind of touched me, so that we might bear fruit for God. And that, again, just kind of shows God's love and compassion for us. Because God doesn't need, he doesn't need Chris to do anything in his kingdom. God is in control. He can save whoever he wants, whenever he wants. But God allows us to kind of come alongside. And I was reminded when I was going through this of my father. When I was a little boy, and I'm saying 4 or 5 years old, he'd pull me out back and we would do a project. If he was working on something or whatever, I had nothing to offer. I was just there, and he would do something. It's kind of like the girls. You can probably remember when you were a little girl, your mom or your grandma would bring you in the kitchen, and we're going to build a cake, and this is how you do it. And again, you're a child. You don't know, but they're allowing you to do that. I probably caused my dad more work at times by him trying to involve me. But he was there to show me, and that's what God is doing for us. He's allowing us to come alongside, and I want you to help me. I want you to do this. I want you to spread the gospel. I want you to share what's been shared with you. And so what a privilege that is, where God actually wants us to be part of growing his kingdom. He allows us that privilege. And I think when I was doing that, I said, wow, that is really a great privilege that he gives to us. And it is. It's, we have a message that is the most important in the world. And that's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other more powerful a message than that. And so in verse 5, it says, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for for death. And here, when Paul is saying when we were in the realm of the flesh, that's when we were slaves to sin. We were living in the world and being slaves to sin. And we were obeying our passions. And in a sense, we were being united with Adam instead of being united with Christ in the world. And so, again, living in the flesh produces fruit of us being separated from God. When we do that, we're being separated from God. And we're no longer free from sin. We're living to this world and what it has to offer. And again, in verse 4, Paul had said, so that you may belong to another. And that's the whole purpose, is we belong to Jesus Christ now. And it's in Christ that we have that freedom from sin. And we are able to choose that. This morning, I was getting gas, and I was listening to the radio, and there's a show that comes on that we usually don't like to hear. But the guy had a very good point this morning when he was talking. Someone had made a statement to him. And he said, you know, when you live in the world and you live by the world and what its customs are, when you die and you come before God, God's going to tell you, thy will be done. You refused to be with God while you were here on earth. You chose the world. So your will be done. You're not going to be with me. You don't want to be with me. But a Christian, a person who has given their life to Christ, will come before God knowing that they're not worthy. And he'll say, Lord, your will be done. And that's where God will welcome you into his kingdom. And that's something we have to be aware of, and also, again, how important that is, that we at least share that message with those that we come run across to help do that. And so, again, Paul is still combating that thought that the law of Moses justified people, that it took your sins away. And he's just kind of making that point that, no, it's only Jesus Christ that can take away your sins. And I'll read verse 6. It says, but now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of grace and not in the old way of the written code. So we're released from the law because pretty much the law condemned. It showed you what sin was. It pointed out sin. And Jesus saved. Jesus has released us from sin. He has taken all the sins away. And he's saying, you need to die to what once bound us. So you have to kind of die to the world. That's repentance. You want to turn your life around when you realize I'm a sinner and I need to do better and I can't do it by myself. There's nothing I can do. And you give your life to Christ. So you die to your former way of living, and now you're living in a way to bring God honor. You want to bring him glory. And so in doing that, because of Jesus, you're able to die to the power of sin and be able to be free from that. And for the Jews, that was, at that time, that was so that they were able to realize that we've been freed from the law. We've been freed, and now we have life in Jesus Christ. And so we can serve in a new way of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus promised us. When he left, I will give you a comforter. I will give you a helper. And that was the Holy Spirit. And that's with us through this world today. That's even he directs us to go to the Word, continues to give us strength and courage as we go out. And we serve from within our hearts with the knowledge of knowing that Jesus Christ has paid all the price for me. He's paid that price, and I'm going to go out and share that with others so that they can be free from their sins. And again, that's what Jesus brings us. He brings us life through him, and it's because of his sacrifice on the cross that grace now triumphs over all of sin. Grace washes it all away. And so at the close, I'm ending the message there, and at the close of every lesson, we do have an invitation that we put out, and that if it's your call to obey that invitation, you'll have a chance to do that during the song. But the first thing is you have to hear the gospel. And in Romans 10:17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Jesus. And that's where we come in. We can share Jesus with others that we run in our life and tell them about it. But then those individuals have to believe that message. They have to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was sacrificed on the cross, that he did die, but then he was resurrected. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So again, it's that belief. They have to have that belief. And then that's going to bring you to repentance, because you're going to understand I'm a sinner. And there's nothing I can do to change that on my own. And in Acts 17:30, it says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands us all, everywhere, to repent. And that's what God's calling us, that 180. You want to turn your life around and turn from sin and try and live your life the best you can for God. Then they need to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And again, that's in Matthew 10:32-33. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So again, we need to confess Jesus as being the Son of God. And then you need to be baptized after those things have taken place. And in Acts 22:16, it says, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So again, that's the thing. And like we had said, when you're baptized, you're united with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And then you just continue on faithfully. Hebrews 10:25 says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So again, we don't want to give up. Once you're baptized, you don't want to give up and just say, oh, I'm there. You want to continue on faithfully and have your faith grow. You want to have your faith grow daily. And again, that's why we have the Bible. God's given us direction to do that. So this evening, if there's any way that we might be able to assist you, whether it's prayers or if you do wish to give your life to Christ tonight, as we have said earlier, there is water and we are prepared to do that. So we can be standing at this time for our hymn.
We take first, second, and last standings.